Pardon?
Do you believe in life after love?
give me.
Sad Mississippi.
How's mine? Really, because I'm not using your microphone.
Uh oh.
Well, you don't sound like Kirby in his share impression.
Is the cyber microphone going to go bad in an hour?
No, it's not. She's got her onboard Mac
microphone. I'm using
microphone,
the Mac microphone.
Yes,
I realised the reason I was quiet the first time I used it was because my case covers the microphone.
Oh, may I step away for 30 seconds before we start?
Yeah, we won't notice a difference. Oh. Carry on.
I'll be right back. I'll let you know when I'm back.
Feed services in association with Who1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 256. I'm Adam and they call me the Doctor. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan. I don't remember that strange garbly gobbledygook being mentioned in the show at all, Kirby, but never mind. Mary Lang.
Think of me.
Okay, thank you. Debbie Melrose.
It's all right, there's no one here.
And he's back. It's Andy Nunny.
Was there ever such a potion brewed?
Yeah, there was. I'll tell you what, I've got a terrible wind this evening.
Perfect sacrifice.
Yeah, very funny, Kirby. The funny thing is, he won't get to find out how funny it is until we listen back to the show later on, so that's great. Anyway, yes.
Why?
Sorry, I do apologise for Kirby's usual audio problems, listeners, but never mind.
Well, I'm having audio problems?
Oh, just a bit.
I can't understand you.
No. Oh, dear, that's hurting my throat. I've got a sore throat, Kirby.
Oh, Kirby.
Yes, thank you, Kirby.
Give me a minute.
That was Mary.
I tell you what, I've just discovered this evening that if you put a dash of orange squash in sparkling mineral water, it tastes really nice. Right, so what should we go on with? Welcome, Andy, to the show, actually at the beginning, rather than just skate crashing the end of it. Hello, Andy.
It's a pleasure, sir. It's a pleasure.
Are you sure?
Well, yes. And I had to get the management permission to join, but yeah, the lovely Dawn, who might make an appearance, but she gave me permission to do it.
That's what she said.
That's what she said, indeed, yes.
Right, and how long are we going to have to wait for Kirby to sort out his usual "I'll reboot" problems?
I'm not rebooting.
Oh, good. That's all right, then.
Okay.
How's it sound? Should be
we
getting
can hear
better.
You now. Right now, it sounds like you're kind of shouting from across the room, but you sound...
Oh, I wonder if it got the wrong microphone again.
The wrong microphone. Is that a new invention? Is that a special type of microphone that doesn't work properly?
Like your one at the moment, Adam, unfortunately.
What?
Doesn't seem to want to make the connection.
Oh, you mean that microphone? Not the one I'm using presently, the one I lent you.
No, the one you gave me, the cyber one, Cyberman one.
Yeah, you've broken it, haven't you?
Listen.
You've broken it, haven't you, Debbie?
I didn't mean to.
Okay. Okay, right then. I think
I'm using the correct microphone.
You're using the erect iPhone. Never mind, Kirby.
Let me see if my daughter is streaming.
Can you just say, just for fun, can you just say, do you believe in life after love? God, the magic words that sort it out.
No.
Oh,
Mr. Grumpy Pants.
As against Smarty Pants.
Yes. It's Grumpy Pants Kirby. Anyway, right. Well, this week we're going to be looking at the Aztecs, or either the Aztecs or the Aztecs, depending on how you want to pronounce it. I'm going to go for Aztecs.
Aztecs.
Everybody else. Yes, I know. That's what I just said. Yes, I know, but Americans pronounce things in a very strange way, so I just wanted to...
I think they say Aztecs as well.
Why would we not say Aztecs?
Well, you say all other words in a funny way, like aluminium is a strange, missing letters.
We're not going to get into the aluminum argument again.
Not an argument.
I say aluminium.
Do you?
But that's because I'm an anglophile.
Yes.
No one around him can understand him anyway. So
it's right. I reckon what it was that when the Americans were told how to say the word aluminium, they had Kirby's microphone on and they just missed out a couple of syllables.
Aluminium.
Shut up.
When it comes to Americans, can you explain Arkansas to me? Hang on. Kansas, therefore it should be Arkansas. Or is it Kunzel? Sorry.
Can't explain that.
I can't explain that. And then again,
we have Worcester and Leicester and Gloucester and things like that, don't we?
Yeah, but they're all building societies. Right. The Temple of Evil was the first episode of this particular
story. Any better with the sound?
No. Not really.
No. Really?
It comes and goes, as per blooming usual. Sorry, I might have to nip out and get the occasional bit of water for my throat.
Should have brought some in.
Oh, that's probably
I'm going through it fast.
In that case, I must mention I have a bottle of Picpol de Pinay Le Casere. It's a very nice white wine, and I've got half a bottle to finish, so yes.
Oh, this could get interesting.
Yeah.
In the wrong sort of way. Not the TARDIS Tavern, you know.
I have a can of Kroger brand Diet Cola.
Ua en Ioa.
A can of what and Diet Cola?
Ua en Ioa.
Kroger.
Kroger. Well, see, I didn't understand that anyway.
Kirby.
Kroger is a line of grocery stores in the U.S.
Based out of Ohio.
Kirby.
Right, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Kirby.
What?
Would you like to have another go at your quote?
No,
for God. You don't have to look it up, do you?
Probably.
You can't rewrite history, not one line.
Ah, there we go. Well done. Right. The Aztecs then, everybody. It begins with the title sequence. No, it begins with all the crew landing in a tomb.
And just randomly sort of raiding the body.
Well, she's...
Yeah, it's like inserting themselves to whatever they like.
Yeah, the way the Brits used to do it, just tomb raiding.
Master?
Yes.
Real skull.
Pardon?
Was it?
It's a real skull.
A real skull.
Yes.
Cool.
And Barbara likes these snake bracelets. She wore one in Marco Polo as well.
Yeah.
Marco.
Consistent. Oh, the other thing you could look at, or the other way you look at it, Mary, is that John Lucarotti likes having Barbara wear them in his
story. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, talking to Barbara, she walks through this swinging doorway out of the tomb and into what they discover is obviously the Aztec city, and very quickly meet Ortlok, who's a bit on the thick side. And depending he was, the sort of high priest of knowledge, it was a bit of an ironic title, I thought. So he immediately believes Barbara to be the spirit of
Because she's wearing a bracelet, yeah.
Yeah. It's obvious, isn't it, really? And of course,
she's wearing that bracelet and she came out of the temple. She must be.
Yeah.
Well, of course, as far as he knows, no one can go in there. So to her to come out, she must be. I mean, how else would she have got in there?
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody else seems to know about the secret route into the temple later on in the story.
It's funny how that becomes quite just common knowledge.
Yeah.
Even Ortlok knew about it at the end of the story. So never mind, just like inconsistency there. Doesn't matter. Initially, Tlotoxor's a difficult name to make, was sort of on board with
Master? Be glad that they didn't go on and use some other names that were available that they considered to be unpronounceable.
What, like Kirby?
What? Quetzalcoatl and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I say, initially, very briefly, was on board with the idea of Yataxa, Barbara being Yataxa, but he soon turned a bit evil and introduced Ian to his best mate, Ixta. Meanwhile,
Ixta amazingly fighting at the camera, yes.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the Doctor was introduced to the lovely
Master.
Oh, for God. Can I get to the end of any sentence?
Tlaxtl, John Ringham, was deliberately...
You sound brilliant.
Thank you.
Yeah, you do. You sound so clear.
He was deliberately doing a Richard III with the hunchback and all that.
Okay. Thank you for that. Anyway, as I was saying, the Doctor very quickly meets Kameka. Lovely Kameka in the garden.
Oh.
In the ladies' garden. Hang on, I'm just waiting for my thing to catch up with it. And they sort of hit it off. Pardon?
Nothing. Right. Moving swiftly on.
We're just giggling in the back, don't worry.
Yeah.
I just like the bit where Ian's given his sort of like bird sort of helmet, and he just looks so cool. Sort of hacked off that he has to wear it, even though it looked really, really good, you know, like I say.
It did, didn't it? Yeah.
And the Doctor... of course, there's going to be a sacrifice, and Barbara decides that there's not going to be a sacrifice, and the Doctor tells her, you mustn't change history, not one... What's the word for it?
One line.
Yes.
Not one line.
Which is a brilliant scene. Iconic scene in the history.
Yes, and that's why when you couldn't understand me earlier, I couldn't believe that you forgot that particular line for your quote, since you always get the first quote.
Yeah, but I wanted to use what my thought was a more important line, which was, they call me the Doctor, which has not been said previously.
Yes, that's true, yeah. But really? I was going to say, that was my second quote.
Where I am called the Doctor, or something like that.
It was the first time he says, I am known as the Doctor.
He didn't say known, dear.
No, he said, they call me the Doctor.
They call me the Doctor. Yeah, I got it right first time, didn't I? Thank you very much.
I didn't write it down.
That's unusual for you.
How many pages this week, Deb?
Amy, what?
8.
Ooh, you're getting briefer.
I know.
So anyway, back to the story. So Barbara stops the sacrifice, and of course Tlotoxel tells the bloke to jump off the pyramid anyway.
No, he doesn't.
More or less.
He just doesn't. The guy doesn't because he feels insulted.
I think he was encouraged by Tlotoxel.
Yeah, he was encouraged. Because he said, you know, just die. So that's what he went and did.
Yeah,
I very well feel the way they film things like that, you know, the various death scenes. You never actually saw, I know I've said this in my feedback as well, you never actually saw the actual death scenes. You saw what was going to happen. I think it's much better the way it's left to the imagination. with things like this and with the sacrifices.
Yeah.
The fact let the imagination run riot there.
Yeah, you don't always need to see the gratuitousness.
Well, it's like they carve their heart out, so.
It's like when Ixtar falls off the pyramid, you see him at the bottom and he's not that far away, whereas with the thought of this sacrifice jumping, you know that it's a long, long way down.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a pyramid, isn't it? Even though you just land on the first few steps.
It's true.
That painted backdrop is way too close to everything to make it look like it's they wanted it further away, but they couldn't because they were in Lime Grove for Episode 1 and Episode 4, but they were in Television Center for the very first time for Episodes 2 and 3.
Thank you, Kirby. You're right. Anyway, the episode ends. Episode 1 ends with John Ringham staring into the camera, saying about, I will destroy her and stuff like that, which is rather cool.
Yes.
Yes. Meanwhile, the Doctor sort of advises Barbara that it was worth a try, basically. No, he's already done that, and now he's sort of saying to her, look, you know, I did tell you, but Barbara, I understand why you wanted to do it, sort of thing, but basically it was a wagging finger and I told you so, sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
Ian has got to have a little fight with Ixtar. He said, I can beat you with my thumb.
Yes.
And I did worry first time I watched this of what the hell is he going to do with the thumb? And in the first, the Vulcan death grip, but you don't know where his actual thumb's going. Yeah. So where's he sticking it?
I don't know.
Yeah, you got to wonder. It just looked like he kind of pressed it into his back.
And he's wiping his hands a bit afterwards as well.
Oh, stop.
Because the other guy was sweaty.
Yuck.
Anyway.
He did strike me as the sweaty kind.
Yeah. Yes.
So, the Doctor and Kameka sort of strike a bit of a romance. The romance, of course, is slightly enhanced by the cocoa bit later on in the story. And
Susan's learning the code of the good housewife, isn't she?
And that's a really weird thing, because the difference between the TV video footage and the film footage is so blatantly obvious. Oh, what? Now? I didn't even get to the end of that blooming sentence.
It's not spoken for a while.
Yes,
carry on.
Go ahead, finish.
I've finished it now.
Well, do you know why that is on film? It's unusual for them to have something on film instead of videotape like that when it's an indoor thing. Why is it on film?
Because they had better sets at Lime Grove.
Well, they filmed that at – okay, this episode, episode two, was at Television Center, but they filmed that at Lime Grove because Carol Ann Ford was on holiday for 2 weeks.
Ah.
So they pre-filmed her two scenes that were in episodes two and three at Lime Grove during the first week. And then inserted them. So that's why it looks like it's on film, because it's on film.
Oh, it does make you wonder why they didn't do that in the previous story while the Doctor was, away, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Especially as he was supposed to be in it.
Right. Yeah, they didn't plan on him being gone. Yeah.
Mm. It's quite odd that they don't really plan around the holidays very well.
No.
Well, they were just, the show wasn't that old, and they were just starting to figure out how things worked.
I know.
So they did such planning more often later on.
It's also interesting as well with Susan, you said about, being Lilam's wife. It's how old is Susan? I know she's played to be 15 when she's on Earth, but how old is she really, and how mature is she? Because, you're thinking time lords live for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
You know, for all we know, she could be 100, and yet, for 100, he's a teenager.
She's supposed to be 15, isn't she? But I don't know, because time lords don't actually, according to later history, become adults until they're in their 80s, do they?
It's something like that, isn't it?
Something like that. Remember Romana?
Yeah.
But if somebody's pointed out, a few months later, there's the Doctor bungling her out off, the bloke she's barely met, David Campbell, and she'd be, 16 then?
Yeah, maybe. Mm. I don't know. But the thing is, I think the Aztecs and a lot of those ancient societies, once you went into puberty as a woman, you became an adult and you're allowed to marry ridiculously young.
Well, I study Shakespeare, and we've been talking about this. We're doing a Midsummer Night's Dream at the moment, and we think that the girl there, she's probably about 14. She's about to be married off. So you're right.
What, Juliet?
Juliet
was supposed to be very young.
Adam's right. I mean, he's jumped to a different play. Midsummer Night's Dream. The lady is about, he's probably at 14, but Romeo and Juliet, they're probably about 14, 15 apiece.
Isn't Juliet supposed to be 13?
Where was she?
She was, both very young, but of course, as Adam said, once he hits puberty, they're able to be married off. Sorry, Kirby, yes?
What is the play that you're referring to?
Midsummer Night's Dream.
Midsummer Night's Dream. Okay.
Do you not know that, Kirby?
Yeah, no.
He's being pedantic, Andy. Pedantry alert.
No,
you
I don't
said
speak
it so quickly.
No, I don't speak quickly.
I couldn't pick it up.
No. No, Kirby. I don't speak quickly.
Mr. Extreme.
You listen slowly.
Didn't take you long to start picking on our newest co-presenter, did it, Kirby?
Oh, I'm quite big. No, don't forget, I'm the oldest probably the oldest person here, so I'm quite capable of putting up myself.
Don't worry, Andy. If he doesn't behave himself, I'll be asking to talk about cricket for 10 minutes.
Oh yes. I've already told Kirby if he comes to the UK, I'll happily take him to a match.
Yeah, but make sure it's a 5-day test match.
Oh, of course, yes. And right. Rugby as well. How about rugby, Kirby? Rugby.
Yes.
No, we discussed that before. I won't do rugby.
If you have to come, you have to come to a match.
Anyway. Yep. I've completely lost track of what we were talking about. Oh, yeah, it's Shakespeare. That's what it was. Yes.
Doctor Who.
And that. No, we're talking about some, obviously, people marrying young. Well, I seem to remember Jerry Lee Lewis married a 14-year-old in the 60s.
Yeah, his cousin.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Doctor is conned into providing Ixter with a means to disable Ian in a fight.
He doesn't even do it surreptitiously. He just comes up and goes, scratch!
Yeah.
Right.
The only funny thing about the fight, because I'm moving on a bit here, is the fact that when he gets scratched, he sort of goes up to the camera.
Look,
and,
bleeding.
Yeah.
Blood.
Yeah.
Takes a while to take effect, though.
And there's some very unfortunate camera shadows in this story as well. Like right at the beginning, when there's this close-up of the tomb, you see the camera shadow.
And someone
on the
coughs screen. Off screen at some point as well, and it's not any of the extras because it's not one of those scenes. It's someone goes,
that was probably me.
There?
No. John Ringham's character, Tlotoxel, is very determined to
Now they're discussing ages on Facebook.
To prove that, for goodness sake. that what was I saying? Oh yeah, to prove that, your taxer is not Barbara, is not your taxer. See, it's all your, you make me stumble over my words. I blame Kirby. So she manages to save Ian by putting a knife to Tlotoxel's throat. But that
it's the fake banging the head on the floor bit I like.
The fake banging the head on the floor.
Well, Ixtar is banging Ian's head supposedly on the floor.
Oh, right, yeah.
Inches.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, who's, right. There's going to be some trouble in a minute. So, yeah, I mean, that's a bit weird because it was always very diffused after that. And Ixtar decides that Ian's his best mate until he dies because he could easily just finish him off. And I thought that under the circumstances, he might as well have done. But, you know, the fact that they seem to want to kill Ian in any way, which way they can. One minute he's his best mate. The next minute he's trapping him in the sort of the tomb channels, you know, where the water comes in later on in the story. So
why does
wasn't that part of the culture? They're very respectful of each other. You know, yes. I mean, they've got a lot of, you know, you respect your enemy. Okay, he's going to kill him, but he's not going to kill him gratuitously. He's going to do it properly, and therefore he's going to respect him while he does it.
Yeah, yeah. I know that. I know that. But, you know, one minute he's saying, no, you're my best friend. He could have easily just killed him, but then the next minute he's taking him to the tomb and trying to drown him.
Anyway,
Tlotoxel decides he's got a plan to prove that Barbara is a fake god by poisoning her.
Yeah. And then Ian wildly gesticulating behind them. No, don't drink it.
Yeah. That was a really good scene, actually. Plan scuppered for Tlotoxel.
I do like the way Barbara lays into him, saying, yeah, you're right, I'm not.
Yes.
Prove it.
And then we have Susan insulting the Aztecs by refusing to marry
victim.
Yeah, he's going to be dead anyway, so don't really have to do much, does she? Just sort of marry him and then watch him die. I don't see what the problem is.
And then they were only going to pierce their tongue and ears with thorns. You know?
Yeah, what's the problem?
That was the punishment. People do that now by
Exactly. Well, not necessarily with thorns, but with more painful things.
I've got my nose pierced.
Have you? Yeah. So's Alpha Debbie. She's got her nose pierced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Why?
Because she wanted to.
I've got my ears pierced, that's as far as I've ever gone, so Dawn's got a belly button done, but no, why?
Well, I did have my ears pierced, but I didn't want anyone else to do it, so I did it myself with a pin.
I did mine.
Did you? Ooh. Yeah, we control the pain then, can't you? It took me ages to get the pin through, it was terrible.
Well, I felt so guilty
afterwards, I phoned my mother.
I minded a student.
The 20 megabyte body piercing podcast.
I wasn't actually a pin. It was a button badge. You know, like the badges you used to get in the 80s. It was one with the jam on it. That's a pop group, by the way. And I poked it through my nose. I got it through in the end, and then I had this like ear stud. No, it wasn't my nose. It was my ear. I had this ear stud, and I thought that's good. I'll just then put that through with a pin, and then put the ear stud through the hole. But unfortunately, the ear stud was much thicker than the pin, so actually poking the ear stud through the hole was more painful than poking the pin from the badge through my ear in the first place.
You still wear an earring then, Adam?
No, my father-in-law thought it was a bit girly, so about a year into my relationship with Alpha Debbie, it came out. And,
what, you came out, did you? Really?
It came out.
No, I still wear mine at weekends. I don't wear it at work, but I've got both ears pierced. You don't need to wear the single earring in the left ear. So I've got one in now, but I won't wear it now till Friday. So,
okay. Well, that's a long time ago.
Two in my left ear, and then if I forget to wear a set, I've got one hoop that people then go, "Oh, your earring's fallen out," every time. So I have to remember to put something in my ears this morning.
No, I've got left ear done twice and right ear done once.
Yes,
okay. I generally sometimes wear a pair, but generally in a single.
Okay, and moving away from the body piercing podcast.
No, it was topical. Yeah, piercings, okay.
Talk about piercings, that's my job, my name, and I'll stick to it. Anyway, can I go back to the blimmin' podcast? Right, so Ian is now trapped in the catacombs of the tomb. The catatombs.
Yeah, he's terrified. The water's up to his ankles, and he's terrified, isn't he?
And he's wiggling his toes.
It's terrible that all you can hear is polystyrene.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, you talk about the polystyrene, is the fact that that great big slab that they were trying desperately to overact and make it look like it was heavy, but unfortunately, it was going in the wrong direction and making it look even more light. Yes, I wrote
polystyrene door to the tunnel.
It's very unfortunate. It's just overacted, wasn't it? I think they just made emphasise it a little bit.
Oh, you were about to say as well the doctor got engaged in the meantime.
The doctor what?
The doctor got engaged just before that bit.
Yeah, yes. Accidentally drinking some cocoa. Yes.
Yes, I made some cocoa and got engaged.
Yes. there's another point. Speaking of the polystyrene, there's another point where the doctor is looking up the tunnel where they're after it's been moved. Ooh. What was that?
Bottle of wine.
No, it was my glass. I just knocked it against the pooter.
And he puts his hand on one of those snake heads to one side, and the whole thing wobbles as well.
Oh, I know.
It's a BBC set. I'm not worried about that. Anyway,
it's polystyrene as well. I can even tell you the name of the woman.
Never mind.
Polystyrene. She died last year. She did.
Yeah, I know.
Very sad that was.
Edna Styrene was her sister, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Ian has found a little bit of a sort of drawing on the sort of ceiling of this sort of tunnel, and he shines a little torch on it, but unfortunately the torch is casting its own shadow, which is a bit weird, I noticed. And surely you can't get a shadow from a light source, can you? Maybe?
What are you talking about?
No, you can't. You're right, actually.
No, I mean, what are you talking about with his shining? I don't remember this.
Right. He's in the tunnel and he's pushing up. He's got a drawing on the wall and he's shining his little torch on it. But you can see the shadow of the torch in the light the torch is supposed to be shining.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Because you're not supposed to, but
Yeah, I see.
The lights. So on and so forth.
The doctor, it's because of the light which is shining from our direction.
Yes. Anyway, the doctor, meanwhile, is absolutely terrified that Ian is dead, and that is quite apparent from the acting of Mr. William Hartnell, who, played the first Doctor, Kirby. Meanwhile, Ian actually comes out from a door under the tomb and then immediately
desecrates the body further.
You notice, even though there's water gushing and rising up on him, he's trying to get out, when he climbs vertically up through that hole, there's not a drop of water on him. You don't see that his clothes look at all wet or anything.
Yes.
The water's not coming from there. It's coming from a different direction. It's a part of an aqueduct to get fresh water into the swamp, which is Mexico City.
You see it gushing over his feet, it's filling up on him.
Yeah, they make out that it's him getting wet through, and then he comes out under the body through the amazing drying bit that you see.
No, that's not the direction.
Never mind. Anyway, he quickly fashions
a series of tunnels.
Fashions a way of getting the door open from the outside by strapping this strap basically to it, and he goes through.
I love it when the doctor comes up. Sorry, Adam, didn't mean to interrupt you.
It's all right.
I love it when the doctor comes running up, and Ian's gone to get Susan in a bit, and they're all coming back to this one place with the throne and the bits of fabric, and she goes to hug the doctor, and he goes, "I'll tell you how glad I am to see you later."
That's a typical the doctor thing.
That one moment.
I thought Ian would just kind of put something to wedge that little door open. I didn't think,
I didn't think he was going to go all out with,
all this strap thing. Yeah. A lot of work.
Excuse to make a pulley, I think it was.
Yes. Yeah, which they left behind. Maybe that'll give the Aztecs some ideas.
Yeah, but it broke, didn't it? So there wasn't much of it left that they could use. I love the way that when Barbara comes to meet him, she shakes his hand.
Making it.
Just before the doctor turns up, Barbara and Ian shake hands, and then the doctor and Ian shake hands. Excuse me. That was a lovely little scene, that. So, yeah. Susan is the target for Tlatoxel's wrath at the moment. He wants to get her punished for not marrying the perfect sacrifice, is it?
Yeah. Perfect victim.
Yes.
Of course, that would be so against his culture, the fact that, they're so misogynistic, aren't they?
Mm. Yeah.
The fact, he cannot understand how a woman can actually, that's why it must have shocked him dealing with Barbara. Barbara knows her own mind. And then, perhaps someone, of his own age and respect, but having a teenager, as he sees her, spoken back to him, he just can't cope with it, can he? I mean, he just... He's completely flawed, isn't he?
They're flummoxed by her, aren't they?
Yeah, they can't cope with her.
No. Meanwhile, Ian goes to try to get back in the tomb from the other side at the in the garden and is sort of framed for knocking Ortlok out with a club.
Which seems to knock him to realise he doesn't really believe in anything, and they go into the wilderness.
Yeah. He just got out of one situation like that. Somebody found dead and he's accused.
Yeah, it's a bit weird where he suddenly disappears, isn't it?
He's been in that situation, not long before.
But he did perform the part really well, didn't he?
You know that happened, yeah.
The one who played Ortlok, he was really good. I liked him.
Yes.
So anyway, Ortlok gives...
They were all good.
Yeah.
Ortlok gives Kameko the seal. Well, it's not really a seal, it was an ornament type thing.
It was a sea lion.
Dear me. And this enables her to get in and release Susan. And then, of course, the bloke who was guarding Susan ends up getting killed in a sort of very dramatic way by... who was it killed? Was it Ixta, wasn't it? He sort of raises his and grimaces just as you don't see the bit where he kills him, but you see the face, which it happened again a bit later on with the expression on Tlatoxel's face. Yeah, they do this great big just about to kill someone face. Yes, I suppose you'd call it just about to kill someone acting, wouldn't you?
Yes.
They all... basically they get the door open and they're all sort of in a line ready to leave, but there has to be a big fight scene between Ian and standing on the edge Ixta.
Master?
Yes.
That fight scene is on film. Mm. Was filmed weeks before at Ealing instead of Lime Grove.
Right.
They hauled all of that stuff, the backdrop and the little sacrifice stone and everything. And there's Billy Cornelius plays Ixta and David Anderson plays Ian.
Yeah.
And also the sacrifice stone, which looks very heavy, keeps getting pushed around quite a bit.
Yeah.
And you can also see the edge of the set on the right hand side.
Okay. Thank you for that. So they
I'm here every week.
Thank you.
Is Ian the first companion to kill? But, you know, how many of the companions have actually killed people? Again, I talked to him on my feedback that I put in.
Good point.
But, he doesn't seem very perturbed about it. You know, the fact, you know, that this guy's dead, you know, he's gone, yeah.
Well, he's been in those sort of situations a few times since joining the crew, and I suppose he's got used to the idea that he's got to save himself. Because obviously in the first story, he was involved in sort of very serious situations that could have ended up with him dead. With the two cavemen, but in this one, I suppose if he didn't kill Ixta, Ixta was going to kill him.
Mm.
I don't know, and he wasn't very nice, was he, Ixta? Let's face it, and it was many years ago, so I suppose you could detach yourself from it.
I suppose if he says it's him or you, then you go,
But he was trying to get Ian all the way through it, wasn't he? And I think the remorse side of things would be slight if someone had been trying to kill you for quite a long period of time. And you managed to get rid of them and get away, and they were obviously quite relieved to get away. So I can imagine that, it's probably played on his mind slightly, but I don't think it would play on my mind that much. So I've just killed someone who's been dead for hundreds of years, technically.
Yeah, but you got to wonder, Ian could have just run away with everybody, but he decided to stand there and fight. And
I know.
That was a big risk, you know. He could have left.
Yeah.
But it was Master. Like honor had to be finished to the end, you know.
It's something men
pull out. Yeah.
I don't think women
alpha care. Male.
I'd have run.
Yeah, I'd have run. Yes.
Sod it, I'm going in the TARDIS. Bye.
Yeah.
Talking about in the TARDIS and bye. Anyway, Kirby, Master. You would have to say Master before I move on to the next bit. Yes, go on.
It's Master. we were discussing the pulley. You can see them carry the pulley into the tomb with them. So unless someone decides to crawl up that tunnel again, they did not leave it behind. They didn't leave it where it could be used.
Yeah, I thought you'd see that.
However, Master, the Aztecs did know what the wheel was, but it was just a curiosity. They did not have beasts of burden who could really use it to their advantage. So it was more of a toy.
Okay, thank you. So there's a really weird scene when they go back to the TARDIS, because that one minute they're wearing, the camera fades off with the Doctor looking at the console, and then suddenly they're wearing slightly different costumes. So it was a bit weird. And of course, that is just a little prelude to the next story.
So, which Master, you're really going to enjoy that one, I hear.
So I'll start talking about this particular story.
I thought for sure Ian was going to still be in the Aztec outfit, like he, you know, how he hung under the Marco Polo outfit.
That's what I'm saying. It's a bit weird where they just...
It's a bit sudden. Different clothes.
Too much of a... Right, we're going on to the next story now. Well,
Barbara, right? Or
what?
You said too much of a right, and I said, what did you mean, Barbara Wright? Yes.
No.
Well, yes, I think personally that is definitely worth a... Shut up. It's taking its time. It's just thinking about it because it didn't expect it. Thank you very much.
You're here all week, yeah.
Right, I'm going to start with this one. This story is brilliant. Mm-hmm. It's certainly one of the best Hartnell stories, one of the best Doctor Who stories of all time. Yes, it's got little flaws because it had a very low budget and it had a very cheap set, but I think they did fantastically well with the sets in there. The set design, the backdrops were brilliant. The acting, amazing. Production, everything. Costumes, wow. Great little story, perfectly compacted into four episodes. Thoroughly enjoyable, thoroughly engrossing, brilliant. This is proper Doctor Who, this story, for me. It's the first story that I could say, this is Doctor Who. Hartnell was, you know, he was the Doctor, as in the Time Lord, the Doctor. You could recognise his characteristics as still with the Doctor now. Brilliant. Doctor Who, excellence. This show has been out here for 51 years, and this is one of the reasons why. Right then, Andy, what do you think?
I really enjoyed it, yes. I mean, I think this is a very clever one because it's one of the good historicals where you're taking a lot of historical facts and actually using that within the confines of the story. But also, again, I'm going to reiterate what I said in my feedback, because I did that before I knew I was going to be asked to join the show. Indeed, thank you. But I think this is good because it's actually using historical facts and putting it in context. And you understanding how the culture worked, how the society worked. And it's interesting because Barbara is, for the best of intentions, wanting to change and stop human sacrifice. But she can't. And it's the dead hand of history. And this is something, again, I refer to later. It's the Doctor saying, you know, we are here to observe, we're here to learn. Because Barbara just said, what is our point here? And I think it's very well done because it's something... It works on two levels. You can sit and watch his story and actually learn a lot about Aztec culture, but also learn a lot about human history and human culture by looking at people's reactions. So I think that it works very well on two levels. It's a very, very good story, this. Very well filmed. Again, harking back to something I say later, shame wasn't in colour. So I think, you know, knowing what the Aztecs were like with the colour would have been stunning, like with Marco Polo. And sadly, we see it in black and white, so you only see shades of grey.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Shades of grey.
I know.
I saw the public picture of this one.
Oh, God.
Say the masculine means never to say you're sorry.
At least they didn't use cable ties to get the door up.
But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really did. I watched it on Daily Motion because I haven't got it on DVD. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Right, Mary.
Well, I'm agreeing with both of you that it is... so well done. I mean, I don't know what it is about the Lucarati scripts that he doesn't seem to have to make his characters explain things about a culture. Because in both Marco Polo and this, we weren't having things explained to us. We were just like being there. He has a way of dropping you right into it so that you feel like you feel a sense that it's really there. There's a sense of accuracy there, and that it probably means kudos, you know, to the director and the costume people and all that, that nothing looked out of place. Even the way, like the hairstyles and all that, of course, except Barbara, but she was from a different time. I didn't feel like it was like a modernized version.
Who knows where her hair is from? It's alien.
Yeah. Well, but I felt like everything, you know, looked like it was of that time, not, you know, a modern version of, you know, what we think they looked like then. It felt so authentic. And Oh, and another thing that I just really, really enjoyed was in the directing, so many of those shots would have like the close-up conversation, you know, that third person listening in was still in the background in the shot. There were just so many interesting ways of framing the scenes that I just found just so enjoyable. And the John Rigman who plays Latoxel, who I think Kirby, you said that he took the Richard III as his model.
Correct.
The way he shambles around and he's so unassuming but so totally commanding of the scene. You know, he's always crouching and looking up at people. Not that tall, imposing kind of threat, but that sneaky, ugly and kind of threat that, it's like a snake in the room. So I thought he did that so well. And I was wondering about something. I know Barbara makes that prediction because she knows, you know, from the future what the fate of the Aztecs is going to be. But then everybody seems to also have that in mind. Everybody talks about, oh, I know, you know, things are going to end badly. And oh, I know that we're doomed, blah, blah, blah. That's in the script a lot. But did anybody else hear her prediction? Or do they all just kind of know that their future is doomed?
Yeah, if we keep going on this way, that's it. We're doomed. Yeah.
So. Yeah. It's like they all were accepting it. But did anybody else hear Barbara? Or did they all know that from another source? I don't know.
No, it's not clarified, is it? No.
That part of it I found a little odd. And one character that I normally don't care for in the Hartnell era is Susan, but I really liked her in this one. She was written to be intelligent and strong. And in fact, all three women in this were intelligent and strong. And so I liked that. This is probably not new knowledge to you guys, but I understand that Susan eventually decided to leave the show because her character, when they brought her in and told her that, oh, you were going to be like this teenage hero type, you know, because you're going to be pulling in the young people, she got so tired of her part always being written to be, you know, the weak, ankle-twisting, screaming, you know, helpless
yes.
wife, that got to her, and she just didn't want to do that anymore. But I think this story... and in Marco Polo, too, I think it was this way. She was
there weren't many hysterics this time, were they?
You know? Strong, yeah. She never went into hysterics, never twisted her ankle. You know,
and yet she twisted her ankle in The Five Doctors, which I always thought was...
yeah, well, I mean, it became, you know, a joke after a while. But I liked Susan in this one. So, yeah, just loved it overall. Loved it.
Thank you, Mary Kirby.
Master. Oh, this is one of my absolute favorites. And... interestingly, I did not see it until 2.5 years ago, and it was by accident. I wandered into Matthew's video room at Concasterboris, two Concasterboruses ago. Concasterboruses, now that's an interesting word.
Plural.
I just went in to see what was playing, and it was the very beginning of this story, and it sucked me right in, and I watched it all the way through and was absolutely fascinated by it. It's just so good. Let's see. Not much more I can say that people haven't already said. Speaking of John Ringham, we will see him at twice more. Actually, one of these cases we won't see him because it's a lost story, but he's in The Smugglers, which is lost, and he's also in Colony in Space, a Pertwee story.
Yes.
So and I know nothing about The Smugglers, and I don't think I've ever seen Colony in Space, so I'm looking for he's so good in this, I'm hoping he's as good in those.
Wait and see. Right.
Do you know? Can you tell us? Can you tell us?
No, I'm not telling you. Wait and see. Debbie.
Yes. There's not much else.
What if I wasn't done?
Yes, you were. Debbie.
Yeah, there's not much really else.
Okay, then let's move on.
Other than Toe, I really, really, really love this one. This is definitely up there because I was sucked into it. And, you know, the history
was. That's what she said.
So. Exactly. And the history was spot on. I learned a lot and I thought I knew quite a bit about the Aztecs and I actually learned quite a lot from this. I love the fact it was a short story. If they padded it out, it probably would have become one of those ones where you're like, okay, let's keep going to the next story, the next story. The fight scenes weren't too long like they were at the beginning, you know, say the first adventure. And it was just, I really enjoyed it. And I would have loved to have seen it in colour because it would have been sumptuous. But that's it, really. All I can say was just, it was fantastic.
Thank you.
Yes, I remembered something.
Oh, Lord.
4 years later, John Lucarati used his knowledge of the Aztecs because he had spent time in Mexico doing research. And he wrote an episode of Joe 90, the Jerry Anderson puppet series, based on the same research. It's an episode called Child of the Sun God. And I posted a link a couple of days ago, a YouTube link, where you can watch Child of the Sun God.
Yes, yeah. I saw that link, I love Joe 90.
I've never seen Joe 90. I'd never, before I was doing research for this, I'd never heard of Joe 90.
Right.
Even though I knew about Thunderbirds and Captain Scarlet and UFO. What?
That was a Jerry Anderson theme tune. I was just going. Was that the Joe 90 tune? I can't remember now.
Yes.
I have no idea.
Oh, aren't I clever?
I don't either.
Pretty close.
I suppose I've got to look it up on YouTube, have I? Okay, then. If you insist.
Well, there's a link.
All I've got is the Captain Scarlet theme tune going through my head now.
Hang on, I've just typed in the wrong thing. I wanted Google. There we are. That's Google. No, I wanted YouTube. Who made me say type in Google?
None of us.
You did.
Thanks.
Don't mention
YouTube's
it.
Owned by Google.
Is it?
Well, there you go.
Right then, so
that's my wine finish, by the way.
Theme tune.
You'll probably, if you're going via YouTube, you'll probably end up having to go to the
turn it up a bit so everybody can hear it. There we go. Ready? There we go. Got it, mate. It's very sort of 1960 pop music. We might use this as our theme tune from now on. It's not too dissimilar, is it?
No.
Anyway, that's enough of that. Yeah, that was Joe 90.
I think you can't beat UFO. The UFO title sequences are phenomenal.
Master?
Yes.
That first bit of music at the beginning of that was Jerry Anderson's Century 21 logo theme. It's at the beginning of every one of those shows.
Yeah, there you go.
Boom, 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 boom.
Sorry, I'm just playing with YouTube now.
Stop it.
No.
You got me into this. I'm just giving Ian Kirk another couple of seconds to send in some feedback. Because he hasn't.
He sent it. He's had problems with audio. He's not seen.
No.
He's having problems with audio.
Oh, well, I haven't got it.
Just checking Google. He'll send it in.
Just a bit of a musical interlude.
I think Cher will ever get wind of the fact that we use it.
It's publicity, she'll love it. I hate that record anyway. Right, we've got some feedback from Jeff Waddle, funny enough. And guess who's going to read it? Oh dear, I'm choking. Because I can't read because I've got a dodgy throat.
Where is it?
No, you'll find out in a sec. Where is it? I don't know. It's with you presently.
Which of us is presently?
Oh, shut up, you.
Oh, great. There we go. Got it.
Good.
So this is from Jeff, yeah?
It is from Jeff, yeah. Well, Jeff Waddle.
Yeah,
but
Jeff,
I mean,
yeah. Jeff, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I'm not going to do an accent, thank you. I'll do it in pronunciation.
Be all right, if it's from Doncaster.
Hey up, lad.
Hey up, lad. Glass
back. I live in Sheffield. I can Yorkshire. Up and lark. Hey up.
Right.
Hey up. Right. Oh, come on. How could anyone have a bad word to say about this? Absolutely by far the best historical until Marco Polo is released in mint condition, and I'll keep saying that till someone gets the pun. It is absolutely tremendous. A work of art and probably Hartnell at his best. Easily in my top 10 of all time. just goes to show that you can have a story without aliens, and it can be brilliant as long as the writing and performances are great. Easily Barbara's best story, and Chatterton's not too bad either. Chatterton.
Thank you, Debbie.
I would say Barbara's hair is an alien.
And thank you, Andy. Sorry. That was your fault for interrupting me again.
I thought it was one of those from Tribble.
Trouble Tribbles.
Yeah, I thought that's what her hair looked like this time around.
What was amazing is she could take that headpiece off and it
Dame
was still
Edna Everage
standing up.
Right. Yeah, so that concludes feedback. Apart from...
No, it doesn't. There's Ian Kirk. And there's mine as well.
Ian's got his. Do you want to read
Hang
it,
on,
Andy?
All I've got.
I'll read Ian's,
once
yeah.
again.
And also, you've had my feedback as well. So
no, I haven't.
Wrong with that? Yes,
I haven't.
You have.
No, I haven't.
Have emailed it to you?
Well, he
no,
did. You he sent. He was said he was sending
Is this
it
going to be a 30-minute argument?
I've just clicked
or...
on... Shut up. I've just double-clicked
on If you need a
refresh.
Wee, Kirby, you can be excused.
Let's have a look in me... Oh, I haven't got a folder for...
I've got Ian posted it to the Facebook page. It's here.
Just look at my spam folder. No. Nope.
And I've posted yours to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
Right. There you go.
Did it Friday night.
I'm looking in my spam folder, and it says Marilyn Park, your penis enlargement.
Spam.
I've got loads of
spam.
I can't get any bigger.
Spam.
Oh,
Debbie,
another
Debbie,
one here that says...
You, Debbie. You'd agree, wouldn't you, Debbie?
What?
You see the picture of me...
What, nude?
Nude?
Yes.
Yes.
Me in a bow tie.
Yes, you in a bow tie.
Another one that says, would you like something about £1 million donation?
I can resend the email or I can send it to somebody else if
you
want
to. Oh, here
we
are. Donation from Eamon Mary Keegan sent on
Sunday.
Or you
could read it.
But no, it's audio.
We will donate to you £500.
Right, reading is audio.
Who can I forward it to? Yeah,
right. Forward it to me.
I haven't got
right,
anything.
What's your email address?
I will not say it over here.
No. Can you if you email me your email address? Obviously, well, I'll read Adam. Right. I'll read Ian Kirk's while you do that, and then I can forward it on to you. My audio.
Okay, give me a second.
Why don't you just resend it to me? Because I haven't got it.
Oh, okay, I'll resend that in a second.
Feedback.
Okay, right. Forward. Okay, so if I do Adam.
That's, thank you for
hang
that.
Hang on, no, right. hang on a second, check names. 20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
Oh, something just came through. Debbie messaged me. Oh, come on. How can anyone have a bad. What's this all about?
I've just got
Debbie's email
hang
address,
a second.
Which is PENISENLARGEMENT@gmail.com.
Right, I've just reset. Debbie, I've just sent it to you as well.
Okay.
So I've resent it to Adam and I've sent it to you. It's the same email address, Adam, I've always used with you. And you've always had it, haven't you?
No need to get cross. All I'm telling you is I haven't got it. I have not got it. The last email I got from anybody was Jeff Waddle. It's not my fault. Well,
I've just resent it to the one that Debbie just sent me, which I won't read out, obviously. And I've resent it to you, Adam, at 20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
And it didn't bounce back.
It doesn't bounce back, no, not a bounce back. Anyway, I will now read Ian's.
Please.
Ian's, right, that's come through, which is Ian Kirk.
Yes.
This is my script for 22nd of February 2015, 58 next sections.
Adam, can you play Ian's intro?
Oh, good grief, hang on.
Oh, yes.
I was just trying to work out what's going on with Google Mail.
I've got to do it properly, yeah.
No, hang on, here we go. Right. Yeah, I think that's your cue.
Cue.
Oh, hello, it's Ian Kirk here, lad. I used to live in Sheffield, so I can do Yorkshire accent, happen as lark. Yes, it says, star, internet problems, still trying to send audio. Mm. At the beginning of one story, Perry had to wade through a pink sea. She was the girl who waded. Smiley face.
Hang on. Let's help him out with this one. Oh, my mouse just fell off the table.
I'm waiting.
There you go. Oh, I got an email.
Was that it?
I got an email.
Okay, was that okay? Right.
I got an email.
Okay, right. Oh, good, thank you. The Aztecs by John Lucarotti. Barbara's hail as a god and wants to change history. Ian dresses a big bird and he doesn't know how to do the Vulcan nerve pinch.
I'd like to apologise to everybody who lives in Yorkshire.
The Aztecs practiced human sacrifice to bring forth stock footage of thunderstorms. Smiley face, Adam, your cue.
Where, what happened to the accent then? That suddenly went all Brummy.
That's because I'm a Brummy, of course, aren't I?
Yeah, but you're supposed to be doing Yorkshire.
All right, I'll do Brummy like then, okay? Like, no. Keep going. Where's the smiley face thing? Come on, where's the smiley face? Come on, get on with it.
Yes.
What?
Smiley face.
Hey, is that
smiley
part of the
face thing?
Oh,
that means we need the rim shot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, go on.
Thank you. Ba-dum-ching. Susan says she'll shout at her husband, which foreshadows the way she will leave the TARDIS. The doctor is posing as a Terminator taxor, but ###, he's not surprised when he does not recognise the symbol of taxor in the Guardian. Susan could not open the secret door by pushing it. The others should be able to open it
now
by easing
the rope.
You're going to be doing Welsh in a minute. In the Welsh at the end, the sacrificial rock moves whenever they nudge it. Look at you now, boyo. Yep, you are. I think the penny store was eventually on Varos. Kirby will know. My ISP is useless in the evening.
Mind warp, not vengeance.
Well, that's what Ian even says, vengeance. And I'll go to Ruth Archer. Ruth Archer.
Oh, David. You are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I drifted then. Carry on.
I'm done. That's it. It's finished.
Oh, sorry. No. Thank you, Ian.
Now, the good thing about this is,
if your email does come along, that bit would never have been heard because your email would have been, your actual audio would have been heard.
I think you should play them both.
Play both?
Yeah.
Who's the boss?
For those who could not understand,
that's the Green Death, Adam. We're not doing Green Death. We're doing the Aztecs.
You're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I'm not.
Right. So we've got some more audio feedback, by the way, everybody.
Good evening, 20 Megabyte. Andy Nunner here. It's 8:52 on Friday night, sitting here in a towel, straight out of the shower.
Nobody
wants to know that.
On a Sunday.
With a glass of Chilean, it's called bicicleta, which is very appropriate because my commute to work every day involves, as well as a train ride, two cycle rides on each of two bicycles. So bicicleta is, you know, there's a song about cycling by Queen. We're not singing it though, but anyway. Anyway, good health, peoples. Anyway, I've watched the Aztecs. I finished it today while, finishing the iron before collecting the lovely door, and that was Facebook saying something to me. And now I thoroughly enjoyed this one. I think this works in two ways. The first way, it's just a bit of an adventure romp, isn't it? Going back in history, Doctor gets into a problem, how does Doctor get out of a problem, how does all these people help him get out of the problem and get into those problems as well. So it works in that way. The other way is more of a sociological thing. Now, if anyone's familiar with the works of Isaac Asimov and the Foundation series, I mean, it was a trilogy and it's grown like Topsy. There's one point he makes, which is they're fighting against the dead hand of history. And that's really what Barbara couldn't realise, is what the problem she had. She wanted to go back and change history, and she couldn't, because there's all the weight of years against her. But also, it's a cultural thing. It's a whole way of life she's trying to oppose, and one person by themselves. Again, this harks back to something within the Foundation series, that one person is not enough. Only the whole culture, whole society wants to change, will it do that? And that's why she was on to lose it. And it's interesting the way she realised that in the final episode, The Day of Darkness, that she was powerless, and then she's questioning, what is the point of this? And that's really, it's you learn and understand, you learn more about yourself. You can't change things that have gone on before, because this was a historical fact. But you can learn more about yourself, and I think that's one way that was actually fascinating. And also, it's looking at two of the people, it's Kamika and... Oh, the priest, and his name's gone completely out of my mind. I'll talk to him first. Because in a way, he lost his faith and found another one. And as a man who is a committed Christian, I can understand the challenge to his faith. And for him, it damaged it so badly, he had to go away, had to leave and go off. But he found something else. He found a new belief in himself. Which is, if you think about it, what a lot of religious people have done, where they've found a new way of going forward, a new way of thinking, and a new belief, and perhaps that's what he found, we don't know, but what we know is he had the ability to, his faith was challenged and perhaps destroyed, but he had the ability to pick up a new faith elsewhere and go off and become something else. So what happened to him, we'll never know. And Kamika as well, I mean, her falling with the Doctor, I think it's one of the great moments when the Doctor realised he's accidentally got engaged. I mean, get engaged by making a mug of cocoa. It beats my proposing by the washing machine in the kitchen after the last night of the proms, which is the way I did mine. I don't know how many of you did this, but yeah, that's my story. Just rather not to a cocked hat, but his reaction to that. And also the way he drops it beautifully in the conversation with Ian, you know, as my fiancé helped me. It's sort of like the, you can always see this thought going in one ear and out the other, doing a quick about turn and back in again, and Ian, what? And then, oh, congratulations, Doctor. There were some good moments of that. And I think, again, that's why this works on two levels in two ways. Barbara, I said, Barbara was, came across a very strong character. She knew what she wanted to do and trying to achieve it. And trying to use her intelligence, because as a school teacher, you know, coming from a family teacher myself, I know that you have to be able to cope with a lot of different pressures at any one time, thinking what my parents went through many hell at times, and with five kids as well, my goodness. But she was able to use her intelligence, but even she realised at the end she was fighting a losing battle, and it was understanding that, but also accepting that, you know, it's just not pointless, it's what can you get out of it, and that's what she had to move forward with. Susan, well, anyway, you know, she really was in a backstory, this one. I mean, it's interesting with her, I wouldn't say quite standing for woman's lib, but it's being a strong character, and she's not going to marry the person she doesn't want to, you know, unless you see, don't look at Melissa's future husband, how would I know? I suppose, really, that's an attitude that we almost went through almost into Victorian era, possibly even longer than that, where women did as they were told. I mean, it's obviously...
That's the way it should be.
That's the misogynistic society that our pre-Zetters came up with. I remember my granddad going to the social club where the women weren't allowed. You know, to him, that was the way things were. I mean, obviously, in the modern world, we don't accept that with equality. Of course, you know, it's a question, you know, what does equality actually mean? I think it's a question like looking at diversity and things like that. Understanding it doesn't mean... Everyone gets treated the same, having the same opportunity, and that's what women didn't have. That's why, in a way, Susan was able to challenge that. And, of course, we turn to Ian. Because Ian, he was able to show the mental power against physical power, the way he was able to defeat Ixtar twice, although he lost once. And, of course, he became the first companion to actually kill somebody. You know, that's interesting. I mean, how many companions have actually done that? I think, obviously, Captain Jack, I guess, has done that. We actually suppose we've seen anybody in the Doctor do that. But how many companions have actually killed in the series? And it's, in a way, it's quite a bloodthirsty one. What I thought was very good, though, is when we had the killing scenes, the sacrifice and the fight between the two warriors, you didn't see the final blow. So it's a Hitchcockian thing. You leave the monster imagination. It's like the best sex scenes in films, the ones where you leave it in the imagination. That's what we did here. So you didn't see the knife going. You didn't see the bloodshed. You knew it was going to happen, but your imagination did it for you. And that's why that works so well, those scenes. Now, I think as well, it was a very good story. I think it's very well written. Jean-Luc Rossi has done a very good job. You know, he's very good at the historicals. I think it's well produced oh, there's another Facebook thing. With the limitations of what sets they could do, the way they use it. It would be lovely to see this in colour. I mean, this is one again like Marco Polo. If you think with the Aztecs, when you see the pictures and the artistic work they do, there'd be a lot of colour in there. And it's a shame that would have been lost, you know, with it being filmed in black and white. And then at the end, you're getting through into Strange in Space, the next episode, and it's, you know, where you are, what are we doing? I think that's a good setup into the next one. That's what we've done very well, with stories linking through one to the other. So, of course, it's only about a fifth or sixth story, I believe, something like that. Anyway, that's it. I've rambled on for 6 minutes now, so that's probably long enough. I've only had my first sip of drink, so I'm actually still fairly coherent, and like my, my performance, but never mind, that's it. I did enjoy it. Anyway, Adam, like your picture, you do look better shaven, and
thank you.
Be seeing you.
Craig M. Hansen sent a little bit in response to my little Facebook post.
Oh, go on then.
In the early days, you couldn't change history, not one line of it. In some respects, I wish they'd stuck to this, as a lot of the modern stories disappear up their own behinds with convoluted rules. The Aztecs is all the stronger for being unalterable.
Like, you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yes, there we go. anybody else with some feedback?
Hello.
Ooh. Pardon?
What?
Pardon?
So Kirby has said something, everybody. I don't know what it was, but he said something.
What is... Is my connection on Thor again?
He's cybering out here. The past is another country. 1987 is just the Isle of Wight.
Yes, you were saying, Kirby?
Has my connection gone bad again?
Oh, yes, it has. And this is the jingle I meant to play previously.
Please do not listen to this podcast if you are affected by any particular mental illness.
Sorry, everybody. Kirby talked over my jingle. I don't know, Kirby. What does everybody think? Should we wait three quarters of an hour for Kirby to reboot his antiquated equipment?
Let me quit type and
makes a change. It's not me.
Apparently, he's going to it, I, and e. Yeah. Well, I would suggest and see how we go. Yes?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'll play another jingle.
Are you?
I am the master, and you will obey me.
I like that one. Right, is he back yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, okay. I suppose I can play a few more jingles about while we wait for him to come back.
You're not GBA!
I'm running out of jingles, everybody. Oh, I've got this one. This is quite a good one.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Blackwood, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I've got this one.
Hi, I'm Andrew Smith, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
It's an original statement, isn't it? Well, I've got this one.
I don't give a toss about your stupid bloody podcast.
Alpha Debbie.
Very apt indeed. What's
any better?
Hey? Not really.
Are you better?
There's nothing.
Hi, this is Fraser Hines. And
right, I think we'll endeavour to carry on, shall we?
Yeah, I think he naturally became a bit better, didn't he?
If you would like me to reboot the computer, I can do that.
Yeah, but it takes too blimmin' long. It's a Sunday evening, isn't it, Andy?
Well, I can reboot the router.
Eat the router, and hopefully it'll be better.
Yes, I will do that.
Yeah, eat the router.
5 minutes.
5 minutes? I haven't got 5 minutes worth of jingles.
Kirby, haven't you got a second computer you could use and have them running in parallel?
He's gone. Meanwhile, do you remember I mentioned a lady who went to Benedict Cumberbatch's wedding last week. This is a promo she did for us many years ago.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast!
Can I also mention as well, there's a Doctor Who play in Guildford on the 7th of March. It's mm-hmm. 6th and 7th of March. It's at the Guildford Electric Theatre, and it's called I Need a Doctor. It's a musical. It was actually at the Edinburgh Fringe last year. Mm-hmm. And I'm dragging the lovely Dawn along to see it.
Dragging it along.
Yeah, well, she's not exactly a Who fan, so... Oh, okay. We're going to watch that in the evening. But that's at the that's in Guildford, at the Electric Theatre. The Mill Theatre, beg your pardon. Yes. So if anyone's interested, the Yvonne Arlo Theatre, the Mill Theatre, the Studio Theatre. So that's on the 6th and 7th of March, and it's called I Need a Doctor. Good and blood. If anyone's interested,
this is Toby Whithouse, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Toby Whithouse, that was, by the way.
Okay.
Not to get him back on the show. How about this one?
Hi, this is Lou Jameson, or Louise Jameson, and you're listening to the 20 Megabytes Doctor Who podcast.
That's it. Well done, Louise.
We saw her last year in a one-woman show. It was really good, that was.
Yes, was she able to remember the lines a bit better than she did that particular segment?
She's a professional. She's an actress. She's a lovey.
Right, what else we got here?
I've virtually run out
of jingles to try and fill this little gap
that Kirby's
lumbered me with.
Is Kirby not coming back? Is he off now?
He is. He's just needs ooter, apparently.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes. Right, I think I've run out of jingles. Oh, well, I'll have to move on to my priority.
Doctor Who podcast. Yeehaw.
Well, I suppose I've got this
we
one.
We could always do Doctor Who News. Or,
Who News.
I'm going to listen to the 20 Megabyte
Any new people?
Podcast.
New
you
people?
You come with me.
No.
Me come with you.
Yes.
No.
Me come with
you. That's it.
Thank you for continuing to like the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Yes, if you do join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group.
Facebook group.
Facebook group which you can join. See, I'm only on blooming orange squash. This is terrible. Maybe I should drink something a bit stronger. Trouble is, I've got Nurofen and Paracetamol in my system. Apparently, you're not allowed to drink alcohol.
No, Mary just makes things a bit more interesting.
Does it? Mary, can I drink alcohol after taking Paracetamol and Ibuprofen?
I wouldn't recommend it.
The problem is with the computer.
You'd be flying otherwise.
The computer says I can't take alcohol and paracetamol and Nurofen.
Master?
Yes. Master? Yes.
The problem is not, Andy, the problem is not the computer. It's the connection to the internet.
All right.
Therefore, we can't salvage the situation, so we'll just have to carry on.
Is it better?
Let's quiz it up, shall we, and see
how
it goes.
We're going to have to quiz it off.
Master, is it better?
It'll do.
Is it better?
Slightly.
Yes. It comes and goes.
That's what
she
said.
We'll live with it.
There's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Thank goodness for that. Right. I've never been so pleased to hear that piece of music. Right. The first question goes to Debbie.
Oh, hello.
Hang on, Mr. Thing won't scroll down.
Right. Hello.
And that is...
Hello.
Who spoke the first words of the story?
I know.
It's Susan.
Oh, hang on, I've got to do this, haven't I?
No.
All right, go on, Kirby.
Arr-arr.
Yes, it was arr-arr.
Yes.
So there was a dog in the story, was there?
It was Barbara.
It can't be that bad. You're now just making it up.
You tell me when you listen to
it. No, it did sound like that.
Mm. Right. Mary.
Yes.
What year did Barbara surmise that the priest died, as in the original Yataxa?
I know. 30.
Or early.
Oh, did I?
Just to help Kirby along.
Yeah. No, I had trouble.
Oh, Lord.
Right, Andy.
So, hello. The problem is
this is a momentous occasion. Your first proper question in the quiz. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Right. Ta-da. Who landed in Mexico in 1520?
1520, are you sure?
Yeah, it was 1520.
Okay.
No, actually, I think it was 1519.
Shut up, Kirby. Right.
God,
who in the script?
It's the Portuguese explorer.
Yeah, what's his name?
I know. It's not Polo. He's a Portuguese guy and he's well known.
Yes,
and
he
I'm
was,
actually
yes.
sort of like, he... No, he's a Portuguese explorer. And I
right,
can't
anybody?
Cortez.
Hello, Mary gets the points.
Hey,
what?
I said I know first.
You never heard?
I didn't hear that.
You.
No, you went, it doesn't count as I know, just, does it? God's sake. Right then. Kirby, this is your question.
Master.
What was Ortlok's title?
I know.
I don't remember.
That's a bit of a shame, isn't it? Right then, go on then, Debbie.
Was it High Priest of Knowledge?
It was Prior Priest of Knowledge.
High Priest of Knowledge!
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
How did the doctor describe Tlotoxel? Or how did he describe him? Yeah, what was his, description of Tlotoxel, the doctor's description of him?
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think I wrote that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You probably, once I give you the answer, you probably know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, probably, but I don't know it.
You don't? Okay, that's a...
Oh, Butcher!
Oh, for God's sake! Right, okay, I'll backtrack on that one and... God's sake, what's the matter with you?
Right. Thinking! I've got rum in my...
Right. You all sound really weird. I'm going to reboot my Skype, but mine is the root of Skype.
The connection
also gonna...
is really bad.
It is, so I'm going to reboot Skype and close down Google Chrome, which is... often a reason
so
why.
It may not have been my problem.
It
in the
was
first place.
Initially, Kirby, because everybody else was fine. It's just everybody's
it's
gone funny now.
Out.
Right,
it's
so I'm just rebooting Skype. Stay online, please, everybody.
Why are you watching Doctor Who again?
Hello.
Can you hear my daughter snoring?
Hello, hello.
Amy. Oh, feel bad.
You sound terrible.
Who?
You.
You.
Well, you guys sound terrible, too.
That's all right, then.
Well, that's all right. We can carry on all sounding terrible.
That's right.
I can't remember whose question was next. No, had the...
It's my turn.
It was Mary's turn. Right, then, Mary, this is your question. Your question is thus. It says this on this piece of paper in front of me.
Well,
where did Ortlok take the doctor while Ian went to meet Ixta?
Oh, yeah.
Where did... Oh, the Garden of Peace?
Right, Andy.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. What Hello. Age do Hello. Aztecs retire to the Garden of Peace?
Oh, I know. I know.
55.
That's very unfortunate. Go on then, Debbie.
52.
Is correct answer. Right. Kirby.
Master.
What did T'Pau build?
T'Pau was the on Vulcan.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Wait, I'm going to deduct a point in a minute. What did T'Pau build?
I know.
The tomb.
Is not quite right. Go on then, Andy.
I was going to say the tomb as well. So in that case, I think
hang
it
on,
was
no,
the,
no,
the
no,
end.
Hang on.
Oh, don't be bad.
Okay. Am I right or wrong, Debbie? And then it's not the tomb.
Well, it's not the tomb. Don't call it the tomb.
Okay, therefore...
The temple.
Sorry, run out of time. It was the temple, so you all got that one wrong.
I said temple.
I wrote that temple.
Yes. You didn't. You said tomb.
No, it's just
temple. It doesn't matter. There are two goes at it were wrong. Oh, God.
Well, I didn't have one of the goes.
No, it was Andy's go.
Yeah.
It was Andy had the second go at it. Didn't you, Andy?
I did, yes.
And then you didn't pick anyone else.
No, I wouldn't, because it would have been the third go. We only have two goes at it. Stop being awkward. Right.
What? And where did you get the pal anyway?
It's
in the
Chappal.
Script.
Chappal.
Okay.
Yeah, Chappal is the guy who built the temple.
Well, he said T'Pau.
Well, that's how it was in the script. The what do you call it? The thing? Subtitles. There we go. That's the word I took out of the subtitles. So be quiet, Kirby, or I'll set the dogs onto you, even though they're fast asleep in the other room.
They'll shake their ears at them.
Exactly.
Oh, God. No, right. They'll fart.
So whose go was that originally?
Fart, yes.
I've lost where I am now. That was Kirby's go. Right then. Debbie.
Magic, terrible. Yes.
Oh, we'll have a score check, shall we, actually, before we go to the next round. Right, in last place, with no points whatsoever, and never having scored any points whatsoever in the quiz at all time, is Andy.
Oh, thank you.
In third place, with 1 point, the very pedantic Kirby. In second place, with 4 points, the lovely local person in the shape of Debbie. And in the lead with 5 points, it's Mary. Right.
Yay!
So,
really? Me?
Yeah.
Right, so this is Debbie's question.
Yep.
Tlaloc is the god of what? Tlaloc.
Is the
god of what?
Is it rain?
Yes, it is. Right, Mary.
Yes.
What did Susan study?
Oh, I know.
Oh, it's all that domestic stuff.
What was it called?
Trying to remember what it was called. I don't remember.
That's a bit of a shame, isn't it?
I know.
Go on then, Debbie.
The Code of the Good Housewife.
Is the correct answer word for word. Right then, Andy.
Hello.
What will Tloxel use to have an excuse to... Hang on, is that right? Yeah, what will Tloxel use to have an excuse to perform a sacrifice 3 days after Ian's battle with Ixta? What will he use as an excuse?
It's an eclipse of the sun. The sun's going to go dark.
Did you notice how Kirby tried to put you off there, Andy? And he's just scored his first points ever in the show.
Yes, he was! Right. Let it go.
Right.
You go, Andy.
Thank you.
Right. It's interesting, though, that Toby Haydake had more points than you in this quiz. In fact, so did Daphne Ashbrook until that moment. Right then, so, Kirby.
You really don't make me feel
better than
you, Adam.
Right. I've lost where I was now.
Kirby.
Oh, yeah, Kirby. What is Kameka's... What?
He said he's answering you.
He's interrupting me now. Shut up! What did Kameka... What is Kameka's main ingredient for a love potion?
What? Cocoa beans?
Yes, yeah. Blimmin' well is.
They kept spilling all over the bench while they were
did
doing
indeed.
It.
Yes. Whenever you call on me, I will invariably answer
Master,
which is what I was
doing. But you were doing it in the middle of me asking you the question, right?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, be quiet. Right then, Debbie.
Yes.
What identity statement did the Doctor say for the first time in the Aztecs?
I know.
We all know.
I'm called the Doctor.
Sorry, it's got to be word for word. Who said I know? I think it was Andy.
I'm known as the Doctor.
Oh, for God's sake. Can't any of you get this right? They call me the Doctor. For God's sake,
yes,
you
they
lot.
They call me the Doctor.
Closely right.
No, it's got to be word for word, right?
And if I may point out that I am known as the Doctor is what...
The Sixth Doctor.
Is what Adam thinks the Sixth Doctor said all the time.
He did.
Although I researched it and he said it twice.
That's enough for me. Right then, Mary.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. I went through all the scripts.
Shut up, Mary. What was quenched? What has quenched Kameka's thirsty heart? You never get this one. That's what we should call the quiz. You'll never get this one.
Quenched her thirsty part.
No,
thirsty. There's my drink. What has,
thirsty heart.
Yeah, what has quenched Kameka's thirsty heart? She said it in a line. This thing.
Thirsty heart.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like Thurston Howell the Third.
Shut up.
Well, the doctor's.
No, it's an actual phrase you used in the.
Okay, I don't know the actual phrase.
Oh, I think
go on then, Andy.
Is that the doctor's gentle proposal?
No, it's in the actual script. The words. Never mind. It was in bliss has quenched my thirsty heart. Is basically what she said.
Bless.
Okay. Right, Andy.
Hello.
Where does Yataxa's weakness lie, according to Tlotoxel?
I know.
Oh, Debbie knows.
I think it's his faith or belief, isn't it?
No. Debbie?
His servant.
Is correct. Right. Kirby.
Master.
Who was Ian's sleeping partner?
I know.
Yes.
I know.
I wondered about that myself.
I don't remember the guy's name. I'm sorry.
Well, that's no blimmin' good. It's a crux of the blimmin' question. Yeah, go on. Debbie, you said I know, didn't you?
Hickster.
Is the correct answer.
Why were they sharing a bed that close?
It's a bit weird, wasn't it?
They were cozy.
Yes, Kirby, yes.
The directions in the script were to have separate beds, but they kept them together so they didn't have to have two different cameras. That was in the info text.
There you go.
It becomes a whole thing of why are they sharing beds?
Well, Morecambe and Wise shared a bed. What's the problem? Right then. Right. In last place with 2 points is Andy. In third place with 3 points is Kirby. In second place with 5 points is Mary. And in the lead with 9 points, it's Debbie. Right, this is Debbie's question, funny enough.
Hello.
What British pop band did the Doctor mention just before Ian entered the tomb?
What?
What Ooh. British pop band did the Doctor mention just before Ian entered the tomb?
Oh, Lord.
No, not them.
Will I have
a go?
I've no idea. No.
Go on then, Andy.
It's not the Who, is it?
No, it was Take That. Right.
Oh, for God's sake.
Take that.
It was what?
That's awful.
Right, Mary.
Say it again, I didn't understand.
Take that.
Oh, it's a joke.
Yeah, he said it. He said take
that's
that.
That's awful.
Oh, for God's sake. Right, Mary.
You have to watch what he says that everybody says.
Nothing terribly British, please.
What task did Tlotoxel give Ixter when they thought Ian was dead?
To kill him.
I know.
And Andy knows.
Was to get rid of his body.
No, it was to kill Ortlok.
Anybody else want to get the wrong answer? The answer was guard the handmaiden, i.e. Susan. Right. Who was that originally questioned for? I've lost the plot now.
That was me.
All right, then Andy. Andy.
Hello.
Right. When they tried to open the tomb door, who was third in line away from the Doctor when they were all holding the rope in the tug-of-war thing? Who was third in line away from the tomb door?
You've got a choice.
Yeah, right. You've only got three to choose from.
Barbara. Four. There was four of them. Right, sorry.
Yeah, but you only mentioned the Doctor, so that's one.
You already mentioned the Doctor.
So I will go with Barbara.
Susan.
Ian.
The Doctor.
How did the Doctor be third in line for himself?
What's he on about?
You said who was third in line for the Doctor.
No!
You said that.
When they opened the tomb door, who was third in line away from the door?
You said the doctor.
You said the doctor. You did.
That was you lot stressing me out.
You said doctor.
I understood it, what he meant.
Oh, go on. I'll give you a point, Kirby. Sorry, a little ding for Kirby. Sorry, that was you lot putting
you
me off.
You did ding me.
You said doctor.
No,
I may well have said doctor, but you lot were being a pain in the neck. You're making me very stressful. I'm unfortunately messed my words up.
You know, there's always one question in every quiz you give us that we have to argue with you on.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't. Right,
this is going to be a 10-minute argument or the entire 30-minute one.
But you haven't paid me. You haven't paid me.
Who was that?
Yes, I have.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
No, you haven't. Anyway, moving on. Right, Andy, I think this might be your question, I think.
Andy.
No, my question was last time.
Was it?
I had the one you got. You got the question wrong for me.
Oh, okay. I didn't. Yeah, you got the question wrong for yourself. Right then, Kirby.
Master.
What did Kameka propose to the doctor while Ian was imprisoned?
To help somehow. I don't remember. I've lost. I give up.
Anybody else? All gone very quiet. The answer was postpone the wedding.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Current scores are with two bonus questions at the end of the thing, which are worth double points, by the way. In last place, with 2 points, is Andy. In third place, with 4 points, Kirby. In second place, with 5 points, is Mary. And in the lead, with 9 points. I said this last time. You lot are just rubbish. Right then. This is double points bonus question number one. Is this just some, you know, make it known that you know the answer, and that would be great. What did Ortlok give Kameka in the garden?
I know.
Well, Debbie knows.
It was an ornament that detailed his possessions.
Yes, ornament was the word I was looking for. Yes.
Dwellings, right. Yeah.
The very last question, and therefore pointless in some ways, is this one. What mask did Ixter wear during his fight with Ian in the temple?
Bird.
I know.
Well, this is for Andy.
Hey, Kim.
No, go on then, Kirby.
The jaguar.
Is the correct answer. And that's it. So, the final scores are, in last place, I seem to be saying this quite a lot, Andy with 2 points.
He's only nude.
In third place, Mary with 5 points. In second place, Kirby with 6 points. And the winner this week, surprise, surprise, it's Debbie with 13 points. This one, usually everybody talks through that particular part of the show. Well, no, not everybody. Kirby talks through that part of the show.
I do.
Do you?
I didn't this time.
It's all coming out now, isn't it? Right then. So, I'm now having one last look at our email input facility, as in emails we've been sent. I've got one from Dawn and Andy Nunny, Aztec's feedback. That's the last thing I've had. So, nothing from Mr. Ian Kirk at the moment, but I might drop it in later. That's what she said. Right.
Please do.
Yes. Now it's time to look at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which you can join. Have you noticed my voice is steadily deteriorating as we go on? That's because
you're doing
cult.
Valiantly.
Am I? Okay.
You're doing
Valiant. Isn't that some sort of ship in Doctor Who? Maybe it isn't. Right. Okay. See, I'm just checking this theory that we might have had new additions to the 20 Megabyte.
theory.
Megabyte, yeah. 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group. I did reject somebody. In fact, there was some strange woman. Oh, hang on.
Who's that?
Ian Kirk has just sent in some audio. I'll do that in a moment. I had this, one of the, you know, you get these sort of people who want to join the group thing. And this woman, I think she was called Shelley.
We've had a lot of...
Hang on a sec.
Ignored.
Hang on. It says here, Shelley Gould, right? This is the person. I sent her a personal message. I said, have you asked to join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group? Or is it a strange quirk of Facebook. She said a strange quirk of Facebook. So I sort of put on, you know, you click the reject button or whatever it's called. And Matthew Kressler's added her. Even though she didn't want to be in the group, Matthew Kressel has added her. So welcome, Shelley. I didn't really want to be in the group and don't know anything about a Doctor Who Gould. So thank you,
Why
Matthew.
Why don't you drop her?
Matthew Ferguson was also added by me at some
point.
And
who is this Matthew Kressel that never comes on?
Yeah, and adds random people who aren't even Doctor
adds
Who fans
to the group.
To the group, yes. So, and that's probably about it, really, as
never
far as that goes. Yeah, but thank you for that, Matthew. Talking about, I just mentioned, didn't I? Feedback. Right, I hope I can get this thing to refresh. Do you need to refresh? Help. Well, has he sent... Hang on, I think he sent it in a different way. He can't send
Hello,
it...
20 Megabyte
oh, here
podcast,
it is.
Well,
that came up really quick. Hang on. Sorry, you caught me by surprise there a bit, Ian. So, therefore, we have to do this.
Hello, 20 Megabyte podcast, is Inca.
Hooray!
At the beginning of one story, Perry had to wade through a pink sea. She was the girl who waded. Nestex by John Lucarotti. Barbara is hailed as a god and wants to change history. Ian dresses as Big Bird and he knows how to do the Vulcan nerve pinch. Nestex practice human sacrifice to bring forth stock footage of thunderstorms. Susan says she will choose her own husband, which foreshadows the way she leads the TARDIS.
Indeed.
The Doctor is posing as a servant of Eutaxil, but they are not surprised when he does not recognise the symbol of Eutaxil in the garden. Susan could open the secret door by pushing it. The others should be able to open it easily with the rope. In the fight at the end, the sacrificial rock moves whenever they nudge it. Bye for now.
Well done, Ian, for getting that. I'm just going to try to...
I thought I sounded better, but yay.
I found it difficult noticing the difference between your version of Ian Kirk and Ian Kirk's version of Ian Kirk.
Please,
I'm sure
please keep both versions.
Who's the boss, Kirby? You've gone all quiet now. Right.
Please keep both versions.
If you say so. If anything please. To shut you up. Right. So, Andy, who are our sponsors?
Whowon.co.uk.
Who won.co.uk?
Yay!
Who won.co.uk? Yes, I've got a funny feeling they haven't got anything new from last week. Actually, well, I went up to watch a film in Ride last week with Isabella. It was a Disney film called Big Hero 6, I think it was called. Debbie?
Yeah?
I'd suggest taking Isla to it because it's really good. But I did try and sneak off to Who Won, but Deb said, no, you're not. So, unfortunately, didn't get an opportunity to...
Yes, I keep getting thwarted in my trips.
...illicit items from that said place. But if you don't... you'll be able to go on the internet illicitly. You can get an animatronic Cyberman. I've got one of them. At least... No, I threw it away. I did have an animatronic Cyberman. Basically, it's like a room guard thing, and it's very annoying, actually. So if you want to annoy someone, get the animatronic Cyberman, switch it on room guard, and whenever anyone enters the room, it just says, you are going to be deleted, or something like that. And it's you know, the Cybers Industries version. I'm surprised they're still out, actually, but it's £24.99. One item that I don't remember being on last week was the apron. Was that on last week? It's a 12th Doctor apron.
£10.99. No,
that's a bargain, Debbie.
Oh, I'm going to have that.
Oh, yeah? Well, get me one, will you, Alex? Yes, so £10.99. 12th Doctor apron, and of course, get the...
I've still got
open.
Your Christmas presents sat here.
Have you? You got me a Christmas present. What are you talking about? Bottle opener, $8.99, a sonic screwdriver thing. And also you get a Corgi gift box. This wasn't on there last week. This is really cool. It has a Dalek, has Bessie in it, a classic Cyberman, K9, and Davros. I've actually got the Bessie somewhere. Yes!
If it's a Corgi, does it also have the Queen with it?
I pressed that button with a big frown on my face, Kirby, just like to... anyway, that's Who Won, listeners. Go to whowon.co.uk and get lots of lovely Doctor Who stuff. Hey, Andy, have you gone there yet?
Not yet, no. It's a bit far for me to go. But like I said, we might come to the Isle of Wight, so one day. One day.
Far to go. All you have to do is go online. It's a website.
Okay. Yeah, but it'd be nice to actually go into the shop, wouldn't it?
It would, yes, but they might be shut the day.
Whowon.co.uk.
Okay, Doctor Who news. It seems that Missy will be returning to Doctor Who.
Oh, it's a great video of her eating an apple. In case she's coming back, isn't it? Yeah,
I haven't watched that video.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's on Facebook for several places.
Oh, I know, but I still haven't had a chance to see it.
It's worth seeing, yeah, watching her munching an apple and say she's coming back, yeah. It's well worth seeing.
It is. I haven't watched it myself yet because I want to wait to see her in the series itself. But, excuse me, I've got a cough coming. I might have to stop. Right. But apparently blocked. Whoa, I've just nearly got to the end at the start of that bloody sentence.
I'll let you finish that section because there's another very interesting guest star that Radio Times listed.
Is that further up the page? Right then. Yes, the block two of filming has got underway, and it is an interesting shot of a slate, which says Doctor Who, slate one, take one, roll A135, scene 1-4, 19, sorry. And also says director Hetty MacDonald. And who's she?
Okay, she's directed several.
Oh, there you go. She's directing something. But it does look...
What? Go ahead.
I just with the it's the Earth sort of map in the background. I wonder if it's a unit style story from that. Okay, go on then, Kirby, before I move on to the next bit.
One of the people listed in the Radio Times article that had where they were mentioning the Master is Claire Higgins, who played Ohila in Night of the Doctor. So does this mean that we have a return of the Sisterhood?
Well, you would expect so, unless she's heavily made up to look like an alien character like they have done with some actors in Doctor Who.
I mean, I'm more excited about the return of the Sisterhood of Karn than the Master.
Absolutely.
Right. The return of real-time pictures. Real-time pictures, cult range of Doctor Who interviews are being relaunched through a brand new website.
Real-time, blimey, that's
going
back a bit, yeah.
Travel TV. So there you go. There's obviously people like Anthony Ainley and Nick Briggs and people like that. Yes, I'm going to say, like I mentioned earlier, Missy will return. Hopefully she will call herself the Master. Well, that's what I'm hoping, because, I mean... Does it really matter that she's female?
Oh, Missy, you're fine. You're so fine. You're my name is...
No, she's the
Missy.
Master. Please call her the Master.
Master?
What?
Nothing. I was calling her the Master.
Yeah, I know you were. City of Death apparently is going to be novelised on the 21st of May. Are you going to buy that one then, Kirby?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Good. 12th Doctor, issue 5, a sneak peek, and there's some pictures of... stuff. There's some sort of 12th Doctor magazine-y type thing. Apparently, Samuel Anderson has won a TV award. He won it for Best Male Performance in TV for the 2015 Screen Nation Film and Television Awards. The award was presented for his work on Doctor Who and Trolleyed. Trolleyed is a Sky comedy series about a supermarket. And there's another thing here, it says, What's the Fuss All About? An Introduction to Doctor Who, written by Will Hadcroft and Ian Wheeler, published by FBS Publishing Limited. So that's a book about, probably an inaccurate book about Doctor Who. Okay?
Might not be.
If it's not written by Doctor Who fans, it's probably going to be inaccurate. In fact, some things that are written by Doctor Who fans are pretty inaccurate. Podshock, that's a podcast about... produced by Doctor Who fans, and the amount of times they mispronounce things and get their facts wrong is astounding, and that's why I used to listen to it, just for the fact that they were all...
I haven't listened to them in a
good
long
old Lewis
time.
Lewis Trapani.
Me neither.
Because they getting things wrong just got a little bit... And what the funny thing about them getting stuff wrong, because they don't listen to the show, so I can get away with this, is not just that Lewis and his slightly inaccurate facts, which were quite sweet in some ways, is that Dave from the Colton Collective sort of enhanced his by correcting Lewis and still getting it wrong, which is quite funny. I do love Podshock, to be fair, because that's what got me, one of the things that got me into podcasting. And they're still going, isn't it? Good old Podshock.
Still going.
Yeah.
Matching all the bickering.
You've never heard of him, have you, Debbie?
Pardon?
Podshock. You haven't heard of Podshock, have you?
Yes, I have heard of Podshock.
Have you?
Oh. Yeah, you talked about it before to me.
Right, but had you heard of Botchop before you heard of us?
No.
No. Well, there you go then. So, essentially, that is... Andy, wake up.
Oh, Andy's fallen asleep. I'm still here.
Oh, you are.
I thought you'd nodded off after your glass of wine.
No, I'm fine. Got to be up at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning to go to work, but yeah, that's life.
Yeah, do you mind not spraying wine all over the microphone? Because that's actually gone in my left ear, because I've only got my left ear covered.
Well, I finished my last glass of wine half an hour ago, so that'd be quite a shock.
Yeah, yeah, I've only got ice left in my glass.
So you finished the bottle of wine about half an hour ago.
No, all gone.
Well, I have to congratulate you on that, with your stamina, for managing to get hope for a whole bottle of wine in one podcast. No, the TARDIS Tavern...
You only had half of one left.
Yeah.
Right, it's pretty good going, really, isn't it? Anyway, next week...
alcohol-infused episode where we're all drinking our favourite alcohol.
That'd be a good idea. I like that. That's a plan. Mary. Mary, you've come up with something. That's a brilliant plan.
You have to have at least two before you start.
No.
Right, I don't think
so.
What do you mean? What's the matter with you, Kirby?
Listen to things deteriorate as we go.
No, we have to limit it to maybe just half a bottle each.
Sham or something.
Ooh, Kirby's putting his foot down, everybody.
No,
that's
we're... right.
I was right. Do on a Friday night, I'll get plastered. Yay.
Okay. Well, anybody wants to abstain from this plan, but I do like the plan. Kirby can abstain from it and just listen to us getting... Mary.
Fine.
Yes. Actually, what might be a good idea, Kirby, because you might be able to hold everything together.
Hold us together there.
Yes. I often do.
Yes. What?
Here's the glue.
Right, anyway. Next week, we're going to be looking at that wonderful story, The Sensorites. And because it's quite a long story, it's going to be a Tuesday recording. Sorry, Andy. It's going to be a Tuesday recording, everybody?
Sure.
Good.
All right.
So how long is it?
Six parts. No, six
Tuesday's 24 hours.
Ah! that unfortunately generally is worth a very slow, slightly delayed. Oh, God. Why is it not taking so long to play it? Eventually. Thank you very much.
There we go.
All right. Yep. Oh yes, I was looking at when we were going to record. Right, so at the moment we're on the 22nd of February, so therefore next Tuesday, and I don't mean the 24th of February, everybody, I actually mean... March the 3rd. March the 3rd.
March.
All right, so I'm going to write it in there. Podcasting. Are you available on that day, Debbie?
Yes, I am indeed.
Hooray. So there you go. 3rd of March, so we've got all this time to get through that wonderful treat, which is The Sensorites.
I haven't seen it. What if I like it?
Oh, I like The Sensorites.
Shut up, Mary.
I
will be in trouble because I'll probably have a wedding to edit that day, but video-wise. But I'm still going to commit myself.
Well, you better let me know what the lie of the land is like in case I should.
Oh, you can come round. She loves you. Anyway. So until next week, thank you for joining the show. I'm sure we won't be long before we're back onto a Sunday, Andy, so don't worry, you can brush up on... What's the next story after Sensorites?
Well, Master,
hang on.
The next week after that, unless we do a short...
It's Con GT.
Con GT.
Well, the thing is, no, actually, if we do a Sunday, we might end up having to do two Sundays in a row, because normally, after a Tuesday, do it the next weekend anyway.
No, what I suggest we do, my dear Kirby, if we're going to Con GT, we won't be covering any review episodes for Con GT.
Right, that's the week after.
Yeah, so basically there'll be the 22nd if we do it on a Sunday. Okay?
No.
No, he's talking about the Sunday the 8th.
No, we won't be doing anything on Sunday the 8th. That's too short a gap between the podcast and I would have thought.
We've done that before.
Have we?
The Sensorites is The Reign of Terror, which is also six episodes.
Yes.
Six episodes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we can't do that.
If you do Monday the 9th in the morning, I can do that. I'm off that day.
Oh, right.
I'm not.
Oh. Okay.
I can send in some feedback.
No. Right.
It's too short. Right.
What did you say? You say I'm too short? Well, 5'10". What's the matter with you?
That's short. You're titch.
Well,
I'm 6 foot.
But
really? Yes. Blimey, that is severely tall, that is, Deb. Blimey, I'm 6'3".
Severely tall.
My lovely Dawn's only 5'3". She's tiny compared to me. I'm 6'3", and she's 5'3".
Right, I've got a plan.
I am quite tall.
Mm. You are, yes, you are, yes.
My sisters are taller than me.
Now, please listen, everybody. This is very important.
I have a plan of attack. Looks like a nail. No, it's attack.
Right. So, right. We're Goon recording show. Next on the 3rd of March, and we're going to be looking at that. And the wonderful Sensorites, right? If Reign of Terror is after that, then what I suggest you do is try and do a little bit of swatting up and try and get both stories done in between then and the 8th of March and do the Reign of Terror on the 8th. But if you know now, you've got to try and squeeze in 2 6-part stories, which is essentially 2 weeks.
Well, can I make another suggestion?
Yes,
the
Mary.
The story that follows Reign of Terror is only 3 episodes long.
That's yes. true.
So if we could skip the Reign of Terror and do
Planet
of the Giants and then go back to
it's got to be in order. That's the whole point of the journey.
It's got to be in order.
From Planet of the Giants, we can just go back and look at our notes.
you did that not long ago, didn't you?
Indeed.
That's right.
Right. So are we going to go for that? Then we're going to try and be very good Doctor Who fans and try and swat up and do both stories in the next couple of weeks. Okay?
Yep. That's fine.
Right. So so we're going to pencil in the 3rd for... well, we've penciled it in. We're going to be doing it on the 3rd. And then on the 8th, we'll be doing the Reign of Terror.
Right. Might be able to do the 8th. Might be able to.
That's what I'm hoping for, Andy.
Okay. I will have spent the morning running 13 miles, so I'll be rather stiff.
Thank you for that.
That's what she said.
Indeed, for half an hour. Dawn would have done it as well, so she's weakly stiff.
Right, so that's it then.
That's the scene, Reign of Terror. It's pretty tedious. It's really drawn out.
I'm looking forward to seeing that, because I haven't really managed to sit through it properly.
I haven't seen it
yet. It'll be the animated reconstruction, so at least we've got something proper to watch.
I have both of them on DVD, fortunately.
The trouble is, I just found it distracting how weird the animation was. But I think watching it a second time, I'll be able to skip past that, having obviously watched Marco Polo in a less easy-to-watch
way.
Well,
Marco Polo is interesting.
Yeah, well, this might be interesting. It's okay. Yeah. Anyway, Reign of Terror. Reign of
Terror. We shall pass judgment.
Right then. Oh, I've spelled terror wrong. So there we go. What a plan. We're actually planning ahead. This is very unlike this show.
If you spell terror wrong, then it's W-R-O.
Yes. And hopefully, I'm just thinking it'd be ironic. I reckon they'll have a really good internet connection at Live Con GT, and we'll actually be able to understand what Kirby's saying. It's going to be really strange. I'm really
I have been assured by Ed that we have an excellent connection with the internet there.
So do you maybe persuade Ed to let you take it home with him? Okay. Maybe not. Okay, right. So, looking ahead beyond the 15th of March, I should imagine we'll probably end up... You said it's a 3-part story. We can probably, do it.
It's one that's going to be real fast.
Very fast. I don't know, probably stick it to a Sunday probably a Sunday, wouldn't it? Because obviously when everybody's available on Sundays, aren't they, mainly?
So we're going to do 3 Sundays in a row? That's unusual.
Is that all right with you, Mary?
Yes, but not impossible. No, that'd be great.
Let's check the management. Of course, we've got time change there as well, haven't we? The clocks will change soon.
They change
not
on
until
the
29th. 22nd in the UK changes.
No,
22nd of March is when UK clocks change.
No, it's the 29th of March, Andy.
Say again?
It's the 29th of March, the clocks change.
29th.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, our clocks change on the
8th. You're quite right. Look at my
yours change on the 8th. Yeah.
Yeah, 29th of March. You're quite right. Yeah,
sorry about that, listeners.
In the US, we go to daylight on the 8th of March.
Yes.
Right. Looking a bit further ahead into April, I've got a week off between the 7th and the 10th of April, which includes me going to see Spamalot in Southampton. I'm looking forward to that.
Cool.
That's the Easter weekend as well, isn't it?
Nice.
Yes, more or less. But in May, at the end of May, we're going to Disneyland Paris. I will have a limited recording availability in that week, but so we'll have to just jiggle it around a bit. I've got lots of weddings in May.
That's what
she said.
Lots of weddings in May as well. And I've got to go on the 7th of May to something called an Ollie Murs concert. In June, I've got to go to something called a Take That concert on the 5th of June. And it's the Isle of Wight Festival between the 11th and the 14th, including Fleetwood Mac. Isabella's birthday's on the 8th. Alicia's 18th birthday. birthday is on the 22nd.
Oh!
Then I've got to go to a Fleetwood Mac concert on the 24th of June.
Oh, she's diary's full, isn't it? I don't even know what I'm doing next week.
Yes.
Masters, Fleetwood Mac come with their own wheelchairs and walkers?
Yeah.
We're going to go see the Who in the end of March. I mean, by God, they're getting on a bit now, aren't they?
No, we watch Doctor Who all the time.
Oh, right, yeah, thank you.
Now, that rim shot was actually set for Kirby's first joke and just didn't just happen to time itself for the...
I don't know why it's so delayed. Well, really, at the moment,
yeah,
we?
No, it's just getting a bit loaded up with Windows at the moment. Yeah, that's about it, really.
Okay.
I've got lots of weddings coming up, so I'm just a bit stacked up with work and things during the summer season.
Well, we'll figure out times.
Yeah, we'll be all right.
We'll do it.
Around it.
We'll roll indeed. With it.
So, Debbie, you're going to a con soon, and you're going to take my little microphone.
I'm going at the end of August.
Yes, you're going to take my little recording device with you, aren't you? And you're not going to lose it, are you?
No, I'm not going to lose it. No.
What kind?
Comic Con.
I tried to get Deb to let me to go, but she said no at the moment, but I'm working on that one.
Just sorting everything out, getting the tickets sorted and what times and dates and things.
So, until next week, and the sense rights. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for joining the show, Andy.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye. Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.